up, everyone? It's Roger and James here from the Disney Kingdom Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking all about all the Marvel and Star Wars comic books that we've been reading lately in the last couple of weeks. Something that we do like to do because we do love to talk about comic books. So, James, what have you been reading lately?
So I've been sticking to two franchises for the most part. I mean, I'm reading outside of them, but the two I've really been focused on are Star Wars. Obviously, I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so I've been enjoying those. And I've started rereading the Darth Vader series, the current one, from the beginning, which I continue to be amazed by how much I enjoy that series.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I've been reading the X books, X-Men Gold and Red and all that. And we talked about X-23 last time. The second issue of that is out, and it's remaining really good, better than it has any right to be.
Yeah.
And then the surprise book for me, Mr. and Mrs. X, number one, which came out this past week. And I don't know if you had told me that I would be this into a book about Rogue and Gambit, I don't think I would have believed you. But it's really enjoyable.
Yeah, it kind of caught me by off guard because I kind of tried it on a whim because it was a number one. And it was like, okay, it's like Rogue and Gambit, you know, it's like, yeah, I don't really follow them too much since the cartoon, but it was like, okay, it's quite fun, and you got all the different characters in there. You got Iceman, you got Nightcrawler, Mystique. I did love the cliffhanger at the end, but then them being on a spaceship, and you know, there was a lot. I laughed a lot, and even my wife did turn she turned around and goes, "What are you reading?" Because I was like chuckling quite a few times about it.
Yeah, there were some great bits in it, like Jubilee going absolutely crazy at the wedding, like trying to find the something new and something old,
yeah,
something borrowed, and the things that they were coming up with for that were great. And then, you know, the whole like Team Gambit, Team Rogue, and it was just a really fun book, and it caught me by surprise. Now, I will admit that the basic premise of then immediately sending them off into space to have an adventure with the Shi'ar guard is odd, and I'm going to wait to see what they are going to do with that story. But yeah, this one grabbed me, and the art was pretty good all around. There were a couple of bits that maybe weren't up to snuff, but for the most part, it was just a really good looking book, a well-read book. I'm even perfectly fine with the fact that they did the whole bait and switch with X-Men Gold number 30, the wedding of Kitty Pryde and Colossus, which turned into the wedding of Rogue and Gambit instead.
Yeah. And that was, it was good. Better than the other X-Men book, which I read recently, was the Designs one,
Oh, right. So...
Oh,
You're not the target audience for the Grand Designs books. But let's talk about that real fast. There was a series, well, series is generous. It's two issues called X-Men Grand Design. Came out, I think, either late last year or early this year. And it's basically just a streamlining retelling of the early years of the X-Men, kind of messing around with the timeline. Because, you know, back then, the stuff that Stan Lee wrote was just off the cuff. There was no real continuity to it. And then the 70s, Chris Claremont came along and did the writing. And he had to kind of make sense of it, and he introduced stuff that didn't really make sense with the old timeline, but you kind of fudge it a little bit. And this was an effort, the original miniseries was an effort to kind of streamline that, bring everything into a basic continuity that you could reference. It's very much a series for longtime fans who kind of want to get re-experience those old stories. They did pitch it as like a primer for new readers, but it really isn't.
I was like reading, and I started finding myself drifting because there was so much text to read, and it was jumping around all over the place, and it was like, what's going on? I didn't enjoy reading it. I got to the end of it, I'm going, yeah, this isn't for me. And I wouldn't recommend it to a new person because it's completely confusing. They were just running through stuff so quickly, and it was jumping. And it's like, well, what? And then it was moved on, and you were like, well, what? And yeah, it was a bit. That was a disappointment for me.
It really should be viewed as something for veteran readers to kind of get a handle on what the current official history of the X-Men is. Mm. And that's what the series is. Now, if you do approach it from that point of view, if you are familiar with the 50 plus years of continuity, then it's actually pretty good read. It's a nice little, oh, I remember when that happened. Oh, I see what they did there to make this work and all that. But definitely not a casual reader book. It's if you're going to read it without knowing the history of the X-Men, you need to have Wikipedia open to reference what's going on. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, it certainly wasn't a good one. Another one I read recently was The Amazing Spider-Man. We covered the
first issue. Yeah,
the second issue sees like Peter Parker in like college with Doc Connors and the Lizard, and suddenly they bring in like the Taskmaster, and that I enjoyed that one. That was a fun little episode. It was kind of reminded me of, you know, that thing of Peter Parker's back at college. He's making some jokes. He's got some people that he's got to take care of, and it was fun. It was a nice, and it was, I actually thought it looked quite a smart issue as well.
Yeah, I stopped on Amazing Spider-Man. I was kind of on the first issue. I mean, I knew, as we talked about in the previous podcast that we did this on, I knew what had to happen. It was very much the incoming writer wanted to set up things the way they wanted it to go. They wanted to tell the stories that they were telling. Mary Jane is in it. Peter's back in college. He's fired from the Bugle. Everybody hates him. Even the Avengers are like, you just go over in the corner. We don't want to talk to you because of how annoyed they were with him. And it was all very just string pulley. Obviously, we want you in a particular position. We're just going to do it all in one go.
Yeah.
So I didn't actually kind of follow through with the second issue. But also bear in mind, as I've mentioned in the past, Spider-Man, I don't have the attachment to him that you do.
Yeah.
I did read him back in the day, and I remember the animated cartoon from the 90s and, you know, more recent ones like Spider-Man, the one that they canceled to make way for the new one, which isn't very good at all. But, yeah, so I think Spider-Man fans will be happy with it once they get past that initial, like, whoa, what are you doing here, why is Peter back in college and stuff like that?
It's the sort of thing, it's like, for me, it's like that is Spider-Man. So that's kind of, for me, it feels like this is when I've tried reading quite a few issues when they did like reboot or sort of number ones and stuff over the last year, and there was so much stuff going on, and it's like, this isn't Spider-Man. It's like he's all over the place. This is like the back to what it is, and I like it. It's the nice as well, for me, like I have a Spider-Man in my monthly rotation, you know, that kind of thing of, you know, he's now this is now one of my monthly rotation books now.
Yeah, and that's great, because Spider-Man does need to be in rotation, especially with you know, 1.5 movies coming out this year. I'm counting Venom as a half movie.
Yeah.
It's not really a Spider-Man movie. And then the video game coming up in a month and a week or so. So yeah, this is a big year for Spider-Man, and it's very important that they've got this book out there for people to enjoy. Yeah. And I'm glad it's hitting its target audience. Yeah, that's what it needs to do. basically. Exactly. So.
That's kind of working quite well. I'm just trying to think some of the other ones. Did you read Infinity War Prime?
Or Infinity War Prime? You know what? I should. Because I love the cosmic Marvel. I've been a fan of Guardians of the Galaxy since the 90s. I've been a fan of Nova since the 90s. And I the Annihilation Saga of the early 2000s, which is what some of the movies drew their inspiration from. I love those books. But, you know, the Infinity Countdown series, the ones that was building up to Infinity Prime, I just got so uninterested in the entire thing. You know, well, issue 3, they brought back Drax, the magical saxophone player, and I was like, I don't care in the slightest about any of this story.
This issue was a little bit better in some ways, of had it kind of is establishing obviously the main character going into this new series, but I really feel like they are all these countdowns and primes and all the rest of it, they're really making it way too complicated. It's like you should have just launched one prime and built up to the story and used this stuff that you needed to. It's like, I kind of read it. It's like there was a really great scene in it that was great, but there was so much else. And there's a, I kind of gave up reading all the other primes that were going on, because every time I jumped in, I'm like, I don't know what was going on. I don't know where it's going. Just give me one, you know, I just want one issue with it all in, and you follow on week or fortnightly or monthly, and you can kind of keep up. This is just, so this one was better than some of the previous ones, but it was still pretty odd.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll probably go back and reread it when it comes out in the trade paperback, and the order is just there for you, so you can read it the way it's meant to be read, but there's too many miniseries, there's too much going on.
Yeah.
And then the story itself is just too weird. So I haven't read this particular issue, so I can't comment on it directly, but the entire thing has just been kind of... And as a cosmic Marvel fan, it does pain me to say that, but...
Do you know what the thing that really gets me is? Obviously, Infinity War, big movie, massive global success. Suddenly, Thanos is a mainstream character, the Infinity Gauntlet, all of this. And so they've tried to launch this like Infinity Wars comic book off it, but they're making it so complicated that anyone that maybe like me that doesn't really know exactly what's going on with all of this suddenly then jumps in and is completely confused and you're back out again, because they are, this should have been treated as a let's get new people in and into this and carry on that trend of what's going on with the Infinity War and what it's all about. And this is just odd. They're just throwing too much around, and I feel like they've missed the opportunity with this.
Yeah, and I don't know, just having all of the miniseries. We've seen in the past them do these miniseries. DC has, of course, done them as well, and it's always just confusing. So I don't know why they continue to do this. It's annoying.
Yeah, it's very, very odd. Like I said, it's kind of one of those weird things of... You can see what they're trying to do. They were trying to tie into it, but they were doing it not very well at the same time. And it's just a shame that they've done that one. Going to flick over now. It's that kind of thing. The Life of Captain Marvel. Did we do that one?
We did not talk about that one, but that was... I don't know what I was expecting out of this book, but I don't think this was it. So...
Yeah,
it was not a...
Yeah, it was an odd one.
It's not a bad book. I don't think there was anything wrong with it, but it's not the story that I want to be reading, especially in advance of her movie coming out next year.
You see, I kind of read it because I'm not really familiar with Captain Marvel. I see her popping up in comics that I read all the time, but I was never really, you know, I was never really too invested in her. So I don't really know much about her origin or anything like this. It's just I know that she's constantly popping up with Alpha Flight in other issues. They're constantly drip feeding it in,
right?
And it's like I kind of watched this like, okay, this is kind of, I felt like this book was like saying, was like for me of just like, this is say hello to a new reader, this is where we're going to do it. And I think they're redoing the bit of the origin and all the rest of it. I'm hoping I'm going to keep with it because I kind of want to know a little bit more about this character when the time the movie comes out. And a five piece series takes us right through till like October, November time. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. The artwork was a bit fuzzy, but it's kind of all right. I didn't mind it, but I could have felt, like I said, it could have done something a bit better.
I think it could, and I think this is an underlying problem with Captain Marvel as a character, is that it's actually very hard to pin down an identity for her or a background, because she's fairly generic when you get down to it. She's actually very much like Hal Jordan, Green Lantern in her origin, you know, Air Force pilot, gets magic space powers, obviously without the ring, but you know, their power sets are very similar. And then once you get past that, there really isn't that much that identifies her, except that she has kind of been thrust into a leader role in more recent years. Now, if you really want to dive down the rabbit hole, she has a very complex continuity history, and none of it does her any favors.
No.
So I'm kind of hoping that this, at least maybe opening arc, will kind of clear away some of that chaff that built up, because she's actually a fairly old character in terms of comic book history. I think it was maybe Avengers number 200, and we're talking like original Avengers run 200, which really screwed up her character hardcore. I might be getting the actual issue number wrong, but she basically was seduced by her son, who impregnated her with himself. And if that sounds weird, it's because it is, and it actually kind of irreparably damaged the character for something like 3 or 4 decades.
Yeah.
And for a very long time, the most identifiable thing about Captain Marvel was that she was who Rogue stole her powers from.
Yeah.
You know, for a very long time, the invulnerability and the flight and whatnot. So that just kind of gives you an idea of the convoluted, broken, destroyed backstory. So to circle back around, I do hope that this is kind of going to shuffle a lot of that off the board and just give us the straightforward, this is what you need to know about Captain Marvel going into the movie. But again, like I said, it's not, as someone who has been reading for a long time and who knows the character pretty well by this point, it's not the story I was necessarily looking for, but yeah, you did remind me, this is a very necessary story for them to have available to anybody who wants to come in and read more Captain Marvel stories when they see the movie next year.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting character, but kind of, I'm willing to give this one a go because it feels like this is a good opportunity to kind of know more about the character, because like I said, she's always been a bit of a generic, and I think that even their powers, they never really even show her powers in most of the comic books. She just flies in, says something and flies off again. They don't, quite often, I've never really seen her do anything.
And that's partly because her powers are kind of undefined. She's just flying, super strong, super powered, blasts, etc. And if she's written properly, she's got the same problem that Superman does, which is there are really not that many threats to her physically. So you've got to go with threats, you know, mental, you know, psychological, that kind of thing. Which,
and also, it's like it doesn't feel like there's a villain, a foil, and all that kind of side of things. Right. It really jumps out.
I mean, honestly, if you were going to pick out a villain for Captain Marvel, your best bet is Rogue. But Rogue has been a hero for, you know, 40 years herself.
You know, we read a book about her wedding, and she's it's not exactly it's that kind of thing, and she's not really positioned like that, is it?
Yeah. Now, she does have her own villains rogues gallery, but there's nobody in it that you can go, oh, that's Captain Marvel's villain. No, it's a bunch of people you really haven't heard of. And I think, especially considering the movie and kind of it was hinted at a little bit here in the book, is they're really going to set up, rather than having a single like Red Skull style villain, it's really just going to be the Skrulls, period. Yeah. The Skrulls will be her main antagonist. So rather than, you know, one single identifiable villain, it will just be this entire collective group.
No, it's definitely kind of one of the good ones. I mean, there's lots of stuff coming up in the weeks ahead. There's always new, you know, it's that kind of thing. There's a constant stream of new ones coming out and different things to jump into. But anything else you've been reading that you want to mention before we head off?
Nothing that I want to mention. I think there's a lot of good books out there. Marvel's publishing some very good books. They're also publishing some not great books. But I think it's actually, you know, despite the market maybe kind of stabilizing and decreasing a bit year over year, it's a pretty good time to be a comics reader. There's a lot of very good stories out there.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing, isn't it? I think sometimes if like everyone's going to just cherry pick what they like. And fight, you know, the trouble is that kind of thing of trying to find what ones you like, keeping to the main core titles, you know. You know, if you want a Spider-Man and a Star Wars and a Avengers and an X-Men comic, you know, that's kind of what I think most people do. I think they kind of, you know, you have a bit of a mix, and you know, also you've got a weekly budget or a monthly budget to kind of pick stuff up.
Yeah, and unless your budget is in the hundreds of dollars, I think it's very important to keep in mind that, you know, you don't have to read everything.
No. It's impossible.
Stick with it. Oh, God. I mean, you'd have to have no job, but still have a steady income or a massive amount of disposable cash. And you know, stick to the stories you like. So even if you're listening to us and you go, man, X-23, I read that first one and I just did not like it. That's fine. There's a comic book out there for you. And heck, it doesn't even have to be superhero comics. Once you get outside the Marvel and DC umbrella, literally every genre under the sun is represented in comics that are coming out right this moment, week to week. So there's something out there for you.
Definitely. So go check them out. Go check out reviews over at thiskingdom.com. Also, James, where can they find you?
You find me heroiclegacy.com.
And on that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.